You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
This past summer, I spent some time with my high school friend, Don. Don has a home on Cape Cod. Obviously, that's a nice place to spend some time. Don and his son, Dustin, and their friend, Dave, took me on a trip that I won't forget. They took me lobstering. We set out with high hopes that we would catch some lobsters for our evening meal. Don steered the boat out onto Cape Cod Bay. Dave pulled up the rope of the first lobster trap. But no lobster in that first trap. The only thing that first trap had were a few small crabs and the smell, oh, the terrible smell of rotted bait. Then we went to the second trap. Same result there. Dave pulled up the rope and we got nothing but a few small crabs and that terrible smell. The third trap went the same way, so did the fourth, and I was beginning to believe that this eagerly awaited trip was going to prove itself a disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed by a trip to a religious service? You set out looking for something. Maybe your life was falling apart and you decided to try church. Maybe everything was going fine and you wanted to make church a part of your good life. Maybe you didn't want to go at all, but you had to. Sometimes the trip to church is a social requirement. You know, your newborn niece or nephew is going to be baptized. A friend is getting married. A relative died and is being buried from the church. You make the trip, and you find yourself somewhat disappointed, as I was disappointed when trap after trap came up with no lobster. I saw a lot of rope. You go to most churches and you see a lot of fancy robes on clergy and choir. I experienced some unusual smells on Cape Cod, and churches, too, have their unique smells. And the bells of the church. It can all be beautiful pageantry, really beautiful pageantry, but what do you take home from it? Coming away from church empty is far more serious than not catching a lobster. The journey to a worship service should be a fulfilling journey of joy. When you've gone and seen the robes and bells and smells, your journey home can be a satisfied journey. It's not that you say, oh, that was a beautiful pageant, the robes and bells and smells and all. Maybe the pageantry was beautiful, maybe it wasn't. The robes and bells and smells are not essential. The journey home from church can be filled with joy because your soul has been touched. The great God who fills heaven and earth comes to you. You can hardly believe it. In that service, God came to you. You! It was as if you were the only person in the world. So personal and touching were the words of God's love. And yet His singular love is for all people. Church services really can be journeys of joy. The reason I offer you that journey of joy is Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 contains a story we commonly call the prodigal son. It's a story about a trip that did not satisfy. And it's also the story of a trip that led to joy. Maybe you remember the story, maybe you don't. Let me read it to you, and then we'll talk about the journeys you make, or don't make, to worship services. Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property. So he divided his property between them. After a few days, the younger son gathered everything together, left home for a distant country, and there squandered all he had in wild living. When he had spent it all, a severe famine came over that country, and he started to be in need. He went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed hogs. And he would have been glad to fill up on the pods that the hogs were eating, but no one gave him any. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have more than they can eat, and here I am starving to death. I shall get up and go to my father and tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son anymore. make me one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. While he was still far away, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. "Father," the son told him, "I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son anymore." The father told his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let's eat and begin to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to celebrate. The young man made two trips. One trip was away from his father. The other was a journey to his father. Now the trip away from his father was begun with high hopes, not unlike the high hopes when we set out lobstering. With money in hand, with the strength and optimism of youth, with anticipation for the good things to come, the young man set out. And indeed, he had much going for him. No doubt he was satisfied for a time on that first trip away from the father. However, the satisfaction didn't last. His money, his youth, his expectation of good things were not enough. He had set out to fulfill his own goals in life, and in so doing, he had gone away from his father. The second journey of the young man was the journey of joy. This journey started when he came to himself. He hadn't set out to feed hogs in a foreign country, but that was where his own designs for joy had left him. There he came to himself and resolved to journey back home to his father to confess the wrong of his ways and to beg. He would not beg to be taken back as a son, for he knew he had forfeited that. Just to be a servant, that would be enough. Just to be by my father, he thought. And so as he neared home, his father was waiting. It's been said, and rightly so, that the title of this story should not be The Prodigal Son, but rather The Waiting Father. The father didn't wait to hear his son's confession, so happy he was to have him back. The father embraced his son and ordered the servants to prepare a celebration. Soon the son was dressed in a new robe. The smell of a feast filled the air, and sounds of joy were heard. The robe and sounds and smells didn't make the party. No, it was the reconciliation of father and son that created the joy. Robes and bells and smells, these are not the things that make a religious service. The heart of Christian worship is reconciliation between God and His children. You and I who sin come back and are welcomed with joy by our waiting Heavenly Father. Like the prodigal son, worship means that you make two trips. The first trip is one that every single one of you listeners makes. I make it too. That is the trip away from the Heavenly Father. We do that trip daily when we set out with our own resources to satisfy our own desires and our own will. We make that trip daily, hourly, when we sin, when we fail to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul, and fail to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's a trip we all make, and sooner or later we find that it does not satisfy. When we make that most important discovery that we are not able to define and achieve our goals, when we come to ourselves as the prodigal did, then we are invited to turn and journey back to the Heavenly Father. He waits each day for you to come back to Him again and again and again. The way to accept the Father's invitation is to come back to His waiting and forgiving arms through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Christ is the way because He died on Calvary's cross to reconcile you to God, your Heavenly Father. You can be sure that Christ is the way to the Father. When the Father raised Jesus from the dead on Easter morning, He accepted His Son's sacrifice and He opened His forgiving arms to all who journey to Him through Christ. When you go to a worship service in a Christian church, go remembering these two trips. The trip we make daily when we depart from the Father's holy ways, and the journey of joy when Christ restores us to the Father's waiting love. Robes and bells and smells, the stained glass windows, the symbols, the architecture, these are not the heart of worship. Such things are expressions of joy that have developed over the centuries as wayward children have journeyed back to the Heavenly Father. The reason the church bell rings is to call you and me in our time to come back to the Heavenly Father. The robes that clergy and choirs wear are on the one hand from the earliest days of the church when people didn't wear suits and dresses, but they wore robes. But more than history, the beautiful clothing of clergy and choir and lay people is a reminder that our Heavenly Father waits for you and me so that He might welcome and adorn us with the forgiveness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Without Christ, religious worship is beautiful pageantry that lacks lasting significance. Some time ago, I read an article in the Chicago Tribune about a religious service that for many people has lost its roots in the reconciliation of God and His children. It's a story about the quinceañera, which is a ceremony for Hispanic young women when they reach age 15. Let me read some excerpts of this article written by Constanza Montaña. The article is entitled, "Some Latinos Spare No Expense as Daughters Come of Age." 14 young women in long pink gowns, escorted by 14 young men wearing high school ROTC uniforms, walk down the aisle at St. Philomena's Catholic Church. They were followed by a little boy in tails and a little girl in a formal dress, each carrying a white satin pillow. As they filed into the pews, the young people turned to watch the slow steps of Candy Marroquin as she approached the altar. The flower-decked church had all the trappings of a wedding, but the guests were not there to witness Candy's marriage vows. Rather, they had come to celebrate her 15th birthday, a tradition known in Latin America as a quinceañera. Now, the author of the article says this, which is to the point of robes and bells and smells. For many, particularly for Catholic priests, the quinceañera has lost its religious and cultural significance. It has become a lame excuse to throw a lavish party that can cost thousands of dollars. It's just one big bash that costs an enormous amount of money, creates great indebtedness, and brings no one to the churches, said Reverend Charles Dom, pastor of St. Pius Catholic Church in Pilsen. A big bash, Reverend Dom said, that brings no one to the churches. We could say that about a lot of other religious ceremonies that you go to. It's not just the quinceañera. Weddings, baptisms, confirmations, first communions, funerals, Thanksgiving services, Christmas and Easter worship. In fact, any time you go into a church for a ceremony, the danger always exists that you'll be exposed to robes and bells and smells and all the other elements of religious pageantry and miss the heart of true worship. The waiting Father welcomes repentant sinners. And if you miss that, then you're no better off than the prodigal son on his first trip, the trip away from the father that ended in his shame. Now, pastors who prepare services have an obligation to draw worshipers to Jesus. They are messengers to you on your journey, messengers who point to the futility of the self-directed life and then proclaim Christ as the only way to reconciliation with the Father, who is the only true goal for humanity. Indeed, there are many pastors who faithfully direct the journey of their worshipers. Almost every Sunday I speak in a church someplace in this land. In many pulpits, these words from John chapter 12 are inscribed as a reminder to the pastor when he preaches, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." In so many of our churches, faithful pastors are working hard so that worship and parish activities point participants to Christ as the only way to the waiting Father. Unfortunately, that is not always the case. In Bible times, there were false prophets, and there still are false guides today. When the content of worship is nothing more than pageantry, when the content of a sermon is talk exclusively devoted to issues of this world, without relating those issues to the holy God before whom we sinners must give account, when parish activities attempt to provide joy apart from the reconciliation of God and humanity, then you should be greatly concerned. You can sense when you should be concerned, for remember, true worship is two journeys. First, the confession that we have often gone astray. Secondly, the joyous journey that we make over and over again through Christ to the arms of our waiting Heavenly Father. If you are not getting that in your worship, I'd suggest that you talk to your minister, or then write to us. And if you are not a Christian, and you want the joy of reconciliation, please, please write to me. So I went lobstering with Don and Dave and Dustin. Trap after trap came up with nothing but a few crabs and the smell of rotten bait. And it looked like our trip was not going to achieve the thing we wanted the most. But when Don steered the boat to trap number 8, and when Dave pulled up the rope, there it finally was, the lobster. That evening Don prepared it and graciously let me, his guest, eat it. So the trip did turn out to be a most satisfying journey. May the times when your efforts seem in vain, may the heartaches and disappointments that attend your journey through life, may times of shame and sadness be incentives to change direction and journey home. May you resolutely set your eyes on the welcoming arms of your Heavenly Father, and may your worship guide you along the way, which is Christ. Amen.